Hey, thanks so much for listening to this message. My name is Jason, and I'm one of the ministers here at the Madison Church of Christ. It's our hope and prayer that the teaching you hear today will bless your life and draw you closer to God. If you're ever in the Madison area, we'd love for you to stop by and study the Bible with us on Sundays at 5 p.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m. If you have questions about the Bible or want to know more about the Madison Church, you can find us online at madisonchurch.org. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast, as well as our sermons podcast, Madison Church of Christ Sermons. Thanks again for stopping by. I hope this study is a blessing to you.
Welcome again to our visitors. Thank you for being here. Thanks for bringing your kids. But please, thank you. We want to extend our thank you for being part of our adult classes as well. VBS here at Madison, I've only been here a couple years. It is nothing like VBS when I grew up. I mean, talk about over the top. Wow. I mean, it fantastic job that they do here. And thanks to all of those who took part in preparing and getting things ready and making this place such a receptive place for our neighborhood and for our visitors. Great job to you and taking part in that. So VBS is one of many amazing things you hear that you can take part in here. We encourage you to come and be part of it. And as we journey together in God's grace. So tonight we're going to continue with Faith Wars. I have a Star Wars story as well. Not as funny as Mike Baker's. That was pretty funny last night, I have to admit. But I saw Star Wars when it first came out in 1977. I was seven or eight years old. And it was the first movie I ever saw. And you would think that it has a mark in my life, but that's not the case. I walked into that movie theater, never seen a movie before in my life, and I walked out saying, "What on earth did I just see?" Actually, this wasn't on Earth. What was this? No one prepared me. I'm seeing all of these aliens and these things going on, and I'm like, 7, 8-year-old kid, I'm like, okay, I'm never going to the movies again. And so a couple of years passed and the next movies came out and I didn't go see them. And I started to get into technology and I started liking sci-fi and I got introduced to Captain James T. Kirk. So some of you know where I'm going with this already. There's usually a divide. There's the Star Wars crowd and there's the Star Trek crowd. And you could probably tell which crowd I'm part of. And so, you know, at 10 years old, 11 years old, I'm a little more highbrow now, and I'm watching Star Trek, and they have all this cool technology, which is what I was attracted to. Plus, James T. Kirk, probably one of the coolest guys in the world. So I started watching Star Trek. I started following it, but I kept my eye on Star Wars. Occasionally, I would watch it, but I really didn't watch the next two movies, which is episode 5 and 6. All that was confusing as well. How do you start on 4? I don't know, but they did. And so I caught up with those probably in the late 90s, and I followed the story. It's a good story. I enjoyed the story. It's the story of the little guy fighting against the Empire, and that's always good. It's the story of the comeback, of the underdog, and we all like stories of the underdog. So tonight we're going to pick up with Faith Wars, and tonight we're going to focus on two stories. Let's make sure this worked: the Rahab saga and the Commander. And so, in typical fashion, tonight we're going to focus on how God's unseen influence controls the situation, and we're going to look how He influences situations to work towards His purpose. So we'll start with the Rahab saga, and that will be in Joshua 2 is where we're going to focus if you want to pull out your Bible. So God had given command to Joshua, and He commands the Israelites to go to Jordan and enter into the promised land of Canaan and conquer it. Joshua sends 2 spies to the city of Jericho, which is a fortified city. Okay, let's talk about Jericho. Jericho. Ancient Jericho is one of the oldest cities inhabited oldest cities in the world. It's located near the Jordan River today, near the West Bank, and it's often called the City of Palms due to the lush palm trees that thrive in that local area. Being located on the Jordan Valley, it is a strategic location for communications, military operations, trade, and things of that nature. So it is a center point. It is a focal point in that region, important place to be, important place to live, and an important place of influence in that region. Jericho was an imposing city. So if you can see here, it has two walls. It has an outer wall and an inner wall. And as you can tell here as a depiction, the inner wall had the nicer housing. That's where the most important people lived. And then on the outer walls is where the least lesser important people live. And so, you know, if you were going to attack this city, you had to get through two walls. And then this outer wall was also built on top of another wall. So it was double high. There was sort of a sloping here. And then you had to get through all of that and then through that gate to get into the inner city where, again, where the king and more important people live. And when they said the king, you could think of it more like a mayor, not necessarily the king of a kingdom, but this is his kingdom of Jericho. So very important place of significant importance, a lot of trade, again, communications and military importance as well. So we pick up in chapter 2 where we find ourselves on the outskirts of Jericho, which is, again, a heavily fortified city. And two Israelite spies have just entered the city, and their mission is concealed by the bustling streets and all of the activity that's going on there, the trade. And they enter at nightfall in the secrecy of nightfall. They maneuver and find an unexpected ally, and her name was Rahab. Okay, we'll start in chapter 2. And read the first part of this story. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men as spies secretly from Shittim, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and rested there. But it was told to the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to spy out the land." And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to spy out all the land." So again, if you remember the picture of Jericho, again, while it's a major city, they probably knew that you weren't from around here. So those two men got in that area, and very quickly the word got to the king that two Israeli spies were there. And so to kind of give you a backdrop, some context for it, the word was getting out that the Israelis were coming into the land and they were conquering. And so the word was out that, hey, there's this mighty army or this mighty group of people, and they're coming into this land and they're going to take the land. And so there were the people in Jericho was nervous in Rahab. So Rahab, who was, again, as we previously stated, was a prostitute. She was a part of the lower class of the city. But that didn't make her unuseful. It made her very useful for God's purposes. And he used her in a way that maybe someone that was more influential couldn't have been used. And so, again, with her, where she lived would have been on the outside, on the outer wall near the gate. And she would have been able to see the traffic. She would have known what was normal, who was going back and forth in her business. And of course, in her business, a lot of people told her things about what they were going through or how they felt. And so she knew a lot. She was a collection of information that maybe other people didn't have, but she was seen as a part of the lower class of the city. It explained her knowledge of, and we'll see that in the next couple of verses, of how she was able to influence the guards who did who came to her house, because she knew how they acted. She knew how they responded to certain events. And so she was able to very confidently tell them, "Hey, you should go do this." And they did it. And so she was an important part of God's plan. She was also a very controversial figure. And so people have issues sometimes because it's a complex story. Again, she was a prostitute. And during the story, as we go through and reread some of the verses, she had to do some controversial things to make sure that she can protect those spies that was there and in her care. And so know that her faith, she was driven by her faith, but there are some people who look at her as controversial because of what she did for a living, but what she also did to protect those who was in her care at the time. And so let's get into the story a little more and we'll find out more about Rahab. So we pick it up at verse 4. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came, where they were from." And it came about when it was time to shut the gate at dark, the men went out. "I do not know where they went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them." But she brought them up to the roof and hidden them in the stalks of flax, which she had laid on in order on the roof. So the men pursued them on the road to Jordan to the crossing places, as it is. And as soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate. And so that was a normal thing at night for any type of city that had walls. They opened the doors during the day, and that allowed the trade and people to come through. But at night, they shut the gate because that's how you kept the city protected. You didn't need as much security at night because the gate would keep those people who may come in and do harm out of the city. So we'll pick up with the next verse. Before we get there, though, I do want to just kind of focus back on God's unseen control. So far, what we've seen in the story is God is using Rahab in an unseen way to protect the spies. And so that was her role. She, despite this dangerous situation in a hostile city, of people who already knew that they were there. As soon as they got there, very shortly, the word got to the king that there are spies here in the city and they're spying with the intention of maybe coming to conquer us. God worked in a way of influence to make sure that those spies were protected. Okay, we're moving on to the next. Pick up at verse 8. Now before the spies lay down, she came to them on the roof, and she said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the terror of you has fallen on us and that all the inhabitants of the land have despaired because of you." This is her faith speaking. "For we have heard how the Lord had dried up the water of the Red Sea before you and when you came out of Egypt and what you did to the two kings of Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard these reports, our hearts melted and no courage remained in anyone any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth below." Continue with verse 12. "Now then, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you will also deal with kindly with my father's household and give me a pledge of truth and spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters and all who belong to them and save our lives from death." So the men said to her, "Our lives for yours. If you do not tell this business of ours, it shall come about when the Lord gives us the land that we will deal kindly and faithfully with you." So here, again, we continue to see God's unseen control. And in this instance, it's Rahab's faith. The faith that she demonstrated here was she had heard through the discussions and things that she had been part of, the rumors that she hears, the different communications that this group of people, the Israelites, had gone through. They had come through Jordan on dry land across the Red Sea, that they had utterly destroyed two kingdoms, and that people were really nervous. And so she knew that this had to be real because there was real nervousness inside of the kingdom. And she declared the Lord in chapter 2, verse 11, "For the Lord your God is the God in heaven above and on earth below." She declared that her faith was strong, And she believed that their God was the God, and that he was there to say that if she obeyed him and display her faith, that he would save her and her family. We will move on with verse 15 to kind of finish out the story here. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, so that she was living on the wall. And she said to them, go to the hill country so that pursuers will not encounter you, and hide yourself there for 3 days until the pursuers return. Then afterwards, you may go on your way. Again, she was someone, based on her position where she was located in the city, she was familiar with how this normally worked, that if they went out, they would go out for 3 days, they would search for them, and if they couldn't find them, they would come back, and she knew the route they would come back. So she was able to tell them, go into the hillside, you can hide up there for 3 days, you'll be safe. In 3 days, they will return, and then you can make your way. Again, God, her knowledge was, and God's influence was able to save those spies. We'll pick up with verse 17. And the men said to her, we shall be exempt from this oath to you, which you have made us swear. Unless we come into the land, you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down, and gather into your house your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. Verse 19. And it shall come about that anyone who goes out the doors of your house outside will have his blood on his own head. And we shall be innocent. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood will be on our head if our hand is laid on him. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be exempt from the oath which you have made us swear. Then she said to them, according to your words, so be it. She sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. So now we see in God's unseen control the preservation of Rahab's family. And so she was going to, she and her family was going to be spared the oncoming attack. And they basically set up a way that they could communicate, the spies can communicate with those soldiers that were going to raid the city. Hey, when you get to a house and you see in the window this scarlet scarf, that house is exempt. Do not go in that house. Do not attack anyone from that house. But if someone comes out of that house, you are exempt. Whoever is outside of that house, they're not safe. And so her faith and God's unseen control preserved her family, which is critical for the next part of the story. Picking up at verse 22. So they departed and he came to the hill country and remained there for 3 days until the pursuers returned. Now the pursuers had searched for them all along the road, but had not found them. Then the two men returned and came down from the hill country, and they crossed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun. And they reported to him all that happened to them. And they said to Joshua, the Lord has indeed handed over to us all the land. Furthermore, all the inhabitants of the land have despaired because of us. So what's coming next is a very important part of God's unseen control. And what we'll talk about at the end is how all of this applies today. But through Rahab's faith and her actions, she preserved her family, but she also put herself in a place in Jesus' lineage. Whereas you look in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, it says, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, and Obed, the father of Jesse. And so God's control and her faith in action saved not only her family, but it also put her place in Jesus' lineage, which we are grateful for today. So how does that apply to us today? God, we can look at this and we can see that God works through unexpected people. And to be honest, you know, I'm grateful for that, because you never know when you encounter someone how they will impact you. there have been many times when I would say something to someone or someone would say something to me. And at that moment, it didn't mean something at the time. But years later, when I thought about it at the right moment, when God wanted me to understand what they were saying, I thought back to that that moment, and it really impacted me in a way that God intended for me to understand that situation. That happens to you as well. You can be, God can work through you, and you can have an impact on a person's life in a way that you don't understand. Holding a door for someone, helping someone out when they need help, can certainly help them in a way that brings them closer to Christ. May not be today, may not be tomorrow, next week. It may be a few years from now. And certainly kindness in this area in Huntsville is what brought our family here. We came in here through here in 2018 just for a writing conference. But everyone we met was nice to us. I remember telling my wife, walking down the aisle at Lowe's at 6:30 in the morning, every person I passed said, "Good morning." And I'm back in the South. People speak and say hello here. This is great. And everywhere we went, people were just receptive and nice to us. You know, we visited some of the local congregations and, you know, service was over. And 45 minutes later, there were people lined up. We just wanted to say hello. What do you have plans for lunch? I said, well, that person just asked us to lunch. Why don't we all just go to lunch? And so God works through unexpected people. He may work through you and to work his plan. And I think that's a great thing. I look forward whenever I can be used by him for his purpose. Faith transcends circumstances. Certainly Rahab's circumstances can be looked upon as one that where a person could look down on her. She can look down on herself. I'm a little part of the lower class. People don't respect me. People don't listen to me. But her faith was beyond those circumstances. She recognized the situation. She recognized what God put in front of her. And she took action. And because of that, her family was saved. And she earned herself a place in the birth line of Jesus Christ. And then God's providence. God's providence, again, even when we don't see a way out today, so you can be in a situation and it's troubling. Certainly at your job or with a family member, a tough situation. God has providence over all of those things, and he works in our lives. He worked in their lives. He worked through that situation where he influenced things and he created the outcomes he was looking for. That's still true today. And so whenever you don't see a way out, just have faith like Rahab had. And beyond your circumstances, know that God is in control and he has providence overall working towards his purpose. And then God's ultimate plan, God's plan of redemption through Rahab, is Jesus' lineage, and Jesus provides that redemption for us today. And so her circumstances did not let her circumstances dictate what her response would be. She looked at the situation, she understood what was before her, which was the presence of God and his plan, and she took action to make sure that her family was saved. But through that action, God's plan was enacted. So now we're going to fast forward our cosmic saga to chapter 5, where we're going to go to verses 13 through 15, and we find our hero Joshua standing on the brink of a great battle. He is at the helm of the Israelite forces just outside the formidable walls of Jericho. His mind is occupied with strategies and concerns for the upcoming conflict. Okay. Come on. One more. All right. The name of the story is The Commander, Joshua chapter 5. So imagine looking up and seeing this. Suddenly he looks up and there standing before him, a figure like unlike any other, a man holding a drawn sword. This isn't just a warrior, it's a divine presence, the commander of the Lord's army, a shimmering figure. emanates an ethereal authority that compels Joshua's attention. Would compel my attention as well. Okay, now when it came about, when Joshua was in Jericho, he raised his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" And he said, "No, rather I have come now as captain of the army of the Lord." And Joshua fell on his face to the ground and bowed down and said to him, "What has my Lord have to say to his servant?" And the captain of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Remove your sandals from your feet, for this place you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Again, God's unseen control can be seen here in these few verses in several ways. Divine intervention. Joshua is about to enter a battle. He's concerned about the battle. Again, Jericho is a formidable city to conquer. Two walls, many things that has to go right for them to conquer that city. But God intervenes. And as they're preparing for battle, again, suddenly, in a very seen way, an angel of the Lord appears, and who is the commander of the Lord's army. And so with that, you can see that there is divine intervention right there. It's not unseen. It's in a very seen way that God says, "I'm in control of this situation, and, you know, release your worries. I'm going to make sure that what you're embarking upon will happen. The sovereignty of God. When the angel was asked, whose side are you on? So that I would have asked the same question. I imagine you will as well. You would as well if you had someone of a very imposing figure standing in front of you with a sword drawn. Whose side are you on? That's a very natural question. Well, the angel answered in a very different way. "I'm on the Lord's side," which I thought was the great answer, because if no matter what happened, what the Lord wanted to happen was going to happen with this figure, these figures involved. And in preparation for what lies ahead, the commander appearance basically lets Joshua know, gives him the confidence to know that what lies ahead is in the Lord's hands, that he is preparing the way, and he's going to deliver what lies before the army and the tough task of conquering. I just blanked. Where's that transporter being? Scotty, where are you? Help me out there. So the Lord prepares for the road ahead. And then the sanctity of the moment, Joshua talks to the commander of the Lord's army, and he recognizes his divinity or his power, and he recognizes he is part of the Lord's court, and he removes his shoes, and because this is holy ground. So again, in the moment, understanding what's happening, he recognizes God's power, and he responds to it appropriately. How does that apply today? God's presence and his guidance is still alive and well today. And even though his presence may not be visible as the commander of the Lord's army, God speaks to us through his word, through the Bible, and through the Holy Spirit. He provides his comfort, and he provides guidance through his word, through prayers, and then interaction with others who believe in him. The sovereignty of God. This is a reminder that God's purpose transcends our personal beliefs. And whether those beliefs or biases or whatever those things, those expectations that you have, God transcends those things. And his sovereignty is above that. And so we still see that today. That is still important today. Holiness and reverence is a reminder that today we can recognize and respect God and pray for him to be in our lives and to guide us in his plan as we continue to live. And then finally, God's preparation. God has had a plan His plan has always been in play. He's always been working to influence things in seen and unseen ways. He's equipping us. He's equipping others to make sure his plan is going into play, but he doesn't control us. He influenced things, and we pray that we can be used to help him in his plan and to work towards the final victory. So what actions can we take today from the lesson of Rahab and the commanders of the Lord's army? Trust in God's sovereignty. His sovereignty still matters. He's still in control, and he's still working his plans, whether it's in a seen or unseen way. Have the courage to do what's right when you're facing a situation and you have to make a choice. Pray for God's influence to help you make the right decision, and then have the courage to make that decision when the time comes. Unity under God's command. No matter what is trying to separate you from God, push that to the side. Pray for God to minimize that in your life. Work with those and surround yourself with those who sees God's power, respects God's power, and wants to be under God's command and be unified under that command. And then humility and respect, that's never a bad thing. Someone like Rahab could have been humbled, could have seen herself as unimportant, but she was very important in God's plan. And then Joshua, who led this mighty army, he's the leader of a nation, you know, have the commanders of the Lord army appeared in front of him and immediately humbled himself in the sight of that angel. So those are things that we can do today as we continue in our faith wars. So this concludes tonight's lesson on faith wars. Thank you for being here. We'll close with a prayer, and then I think there's a couple announcements, and then we'll fellowship some. So I'll pray, and then I'll hand it over to Dave. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for Rahab. We thank you for her story, her example, and how you worked in her life. Father, we pray that you work in our lives, that we are influenced by you, that we place our hope in you, that we grow in our faith for you and grow in your love. Father, we're grateful for this Vacation Bible School and this time together where we can learn about you, we can share and fellowship together and grow in your love. Father, we're thankful, and we ask you that you continue to be with us and keep us close to you. These things in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.